years do you think the longest running business has been running for? How many years do you reckon that they've been running for? So maybe talk to the person next to you, come up with an idea, come up with the best guess, and I want to hear if anyone could get close. Okie dokie, does anyone feel brave enough to shout out a number? Our beginning bid, yes? 800 years, wow, that is up there. Do we have any higher? Do I hear 900 years? 900 years at the front? Pardon? 1,900, wow. Okay, anyone else want to go higher? 1,901. Do I hear 1,902? Wow. I don't know if everyone heard that, but that's incredible. God's in the business of saving, and he's been doing that for a lot longer than 1,901 years. Yeah. Wow. Okay, there you go. Well, according to Google, it's 1,428 years. So we got in between. So good job, guys. If you balance it out, find the average, you roughly land there. Over a millennium, though, which is crazy, the longest running business. The business is called Kongo Gumi. It's a Japanese construction company, apparently established in roughly 578 AD. And therefore, it's the world's longest and oldest recorded company. My favorite fact about this business, though, isn't that it was able to withstand two world wars and who knows what else, or its impressive longevity, but my favorite fact about it is that it was actually a family-owned business. Imagine that, generations upon generations of running the business and passing it down. I mean, it's pretty amazing, although I could imagine as the generations kept going, the pressure to keep that business going would really intensify. Imagine being the 40th generation and this legacy is about to be passed down onto you. There's no pressure or anything. Don't mess it up. But I'm sure you didn't come to church this morning to learn about the oldest running business in the world. But I say all this because over the next roughly 20 minutes, we'll be learning about a different family business, one that has been running much longer than Kongo Gumi. That is, you guessed it, the church. Its founder, Jesus Christ, established it in roughly 33 AD, and you could argue it only started off with 11 scared disciples, but it has grown now into an international movement with more and more people joining the family business every day. But the church wasn't always as big as it is now. In its early startup days, it was constantly under risk from both threats both outside and within the church. Today, we're going to be reading from the Apostle Paul's second letter to Timothy to learn about the crucial whos and whats that made the church not only survive these threats, but continue to grow in the face of opposition to the place where it is today. How about we pray first? Heavenly Father, it is a great gift and joy to gather as your church. Let us not forget the blessing it is, but rather give praise and thanksgiving to you for your many gifts to your people. Father, you have promised to give the church your spirit. So we pray that as we hear from your word, would your spirit be at work in our hearts, that we may grow in your Son according to your will. Amen. In the early church days, there were a few key players who significantly enabled the growth and the spread of the gospel. And one of these people was a man named Paul. As we read in verse 1, he was an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. And as we heard earlier from Crystal in that very short Bible reading, Paul was commissioned by Jesus to himself to be his worker for the gospel, his chosen instrument. Essentially, Jesus entrusted into Paul's care the family business of the church to grow it, steward it, and protect it. And Paul did an incredible job. He'd bounce around from city to city and plant churches all over the place. But during that time, he also faced prison, multiple times. Slander, famine, the cold, the heat, shipwrecks, multiple times. A snake bite. He got stoned and flogged and beaten and hunted and much, much more, all for the sake of the church. What kind of man willingly risks his life over and over again for something like that? Definitely not just any old employee. No, no, Jesus said so himself. If the going gets rough, a hired hand will fold immediately. But here is someone who deeply cares about his work, because Paul deeply loves the church, more so its people. And Paul wants them to fully know the love and grace of God that is found in Jesus, no matter the personal cost it is to himself. And trust me, it did cost him. And that's great. But here's the problem we face. Paul won't live forever. By the time he's writing to Timothy, he is old and he knows it. He even says later on in the same letter himself, "The time for my departure is near." Paul has lived a hard, long life, and because of it, the church has grown significantly. But now, if he wants to see his work survive and continue to grow, he needs to pass it down to someone else to take up the family business. And that's where Timothy comes in. Verse 2, "To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord." Let me rewind a little bit to fill you in. In Acts 16, we read about Paul, who is still going about his missionary journeys, preaching the good news of Jesus to all these different cities, and he comes to a place called Lystra and meets Timothy and his family, which we read about in verse 5 of today's passage. And so Paul brings him along to help him in the family business of growing the church and spreading the gospel. And Timothy becomes Paul's kind of apprentice, if you will. After a while of traveling with Paul and learning from him, Timothy is eventually left with some pretty big responsibilities to do on his own by himself. Timothy is sent to many churches by himself to act on Paul's behalf when Paul couldn't be there himself. Take Paul's letter to the Philippians, for example. Paul says, Paul says to them, "I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare. For everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself because, and here's the gold, as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel." Paul has really taken Timothy under his wing and trained him up. Not like the four-year apprenticeships we have here in Australia, where you might bounce around from different work sites and trainers to get a variety of experiences and then clock off in the Arvo for drinks. Think more like a traditional apprenticeship, where the father would pass down the family business to his son, where Mr. Baker would raise and train Master Baker in the art of baking to one day leave it all to him. And it's also clear in the Philippians passage that just like Paul, Timothy has a genuine love and concern for the church and its people, which I'm sure only strengthened their bond even further. So that's Timothy and Paul's relationship. Paul has essentially raised young Timothy, and so now as Paul is looking to hand over the family business, it's clear who he's going to hand it over to because he has no one like Timothy. And that is the purpose of this letter. It's time. This long growing relationship has finally come to full maturity, and Paul is handing over his precious work to Timothy. But Paul isn't just writing to Timothy to say, "Hey, congrats, here's the family business, I'm out of here, good luck." No. As we've already seen, Paul cares so, so much for both the church and for Timothy that he wants to give Timothy the absolute best chances possible for Timothy to pick up Paul's work and continue to do it to grow the church. So not only is Paul just handing over the family business, but he's also handing over the tools, the strategies, the trusted co-workers, the challenges that he'll face and how to overcome them. The second letter to Timothy is a comprehensive family business handover letter, because that's how it works. The church is only ever grown and sustained when people receive what has been handed down to them and they treasure it, and then they do the work to pass it on themselves. And so Paul's first point of order in this letter is to inform Timothy of the tools of the trade that he will need to rely on if he wants this business to survive. Paul goes on to say, Paul tells us what this first tool is in verse 6. He goes on to say, "For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Paul says that Timothy already has the first tool. He just needs to use it. But what is this gift of God? Paul continues, "For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline." This gift of God is the Holy Spirit. In Paul's time, it was common for apostles to lay hands on new believers, pray for them, and see them receive the Holy Spirit. And you can read about that in Acts chapter 8 and 13. And that was the case for Timothy. Paul laid his hands on Timothy, and he received the Holy Spirit. And Paul's trying to remind Timothy of this, because the Spirit of God is exactly what Timothy needs to run the family business. The Spirit won't make Timothy timid, but will give him power, love, and self-discipline. Now, not to say that Timothy was necessarily timid, but I just think that Paul knows that this line of work is not for the timid. Remember when I was telling you about Paul's floggings and beatings earlier? Yeah, it's rough. But Paul doesn't seem to be too concerned about it, because he knows that God has given Timothy his Spirit. Everything that he needs is in God's Spirit. And as we read, his Spirit gives us power. And we know this because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead by the same power of his Spirit. And so if the Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead is living in us, the Bible says that God will also give life to our mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in us. That's the power on offer. Resurrection power. Power that can't even be chained by death. God has proven that if Timothy fans into flame the gift of God by relying on the Holy Spirit, Timothy will be able to continue Paul's work and actually be productive in growing and caring for the church, because he has a great source of power. But power alone is a power trip, a bulldozer, which can easily be abused when left unchecked. So God's Spirit doesn't just give power, he also gives love. Love is the key ingredient that turns power and strength into sacrifice and service. Power on its own will push others down to keep themselves on top, but power mixed with love will raise others up. And that's exactly who Jesus is. Jesus is God. He is all powerful. But Jesus was also so full of love that he surrendered his power and came down and shared in our weakness so that we might share in his power and glory. So the job that Paul is passing down to Timothy isn't just about them winning converts. It's about other people, the church, and loving them. Love only makes the message of the gospel more powerful when it is heard and felt through the way that the speaker loves their hearers. So that's great. God's Spirit makes us powerful and productive in the family business, but also humble and loving, which truly builds up the church. But what about when things go wrong or things get hard? When the time comes, and it will come, when people start to oppose Timothy and his message, that's what happened to Paul, so it won't be long until it's Timothy's turn. And this persecution might be a cause for shame. Maybe some of Timothy's closest friends might abandon him altogether because he's sharing a gospel that people oppose. What can God's Spirit give in the face of all of this? Self-discipline. Self-discipline to endure opposition and suffering. to stare down all of the challenges and hardships and to keep going. When it feels like this whole family business is falling apart, God's Spirit gives us the self-discipline to keep going. Because that's what self-discipline is. It's doing something you don't want to do, but you do it anyway because you have your eyes fixed on a greater prize. And again, this is best exemplified in the pioneer of our faith, Jesus Christ, for who the joy set before him endured the cross and scorned its shame. For 6 hours he endured the cross. And that's how Paul is able to say in verse 8, "So do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God." What an amazing gift. It's as if God knew exactly what Timothy would need to join the family business and so gives Timothy his spirit to supply the very help needed to grow and care for the church. And if you didn't notice, all of these characteristics that the Spirit gives are best modeled in the one who started the church, in Jesus Christ. And guess what? This gift of God is the gift that keeps on giving, which means that what was true for Paul and Timothy 2,000 years ago is just as true for us today. For those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, we have that same Spirit living in us, who doesn't make us timid, but instead gives us power, love, and self-discipline. And it's given to us for the exact same reason, to take up the mantle and continue the family business. God loves his church. He loves his people. And he wants the church to grow, and he wants his church to love the church just as much as he does. So he gives them his Spirit, so that they too might play a part in God's family business of looking after and growing the church. So that's the first tool of the trade that both Timothy and ourselves will need if we ever want to have a hope of or a chance at helping the family business run. It's the Holy Spirit who gives us power, love, and self-discipline. But there is another thing that Paul mentions. There used to be this NPR podcast I listened to called How I Built This. It's this guy called Guy who would interview all these entrepreneurs about big name brands, who started big name brands such as Ben & Jerry's, Airbnb, and BuzzFeed. And he would interview them about how they built their business empire. And when you listen to enough episodes, you notice some common factors between all of these wildly successful companies. And one of these factors was that they all had a story, a vision, an identity. It was the core of their business. The company knew who they were as a people and where they were heading. And I think that's also the case for this family business as well. Because in verse 9, Paul reminds Timothy of their story, the very essence of the work, which is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Read with me in verse 9. "He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." The gospel is the second thing Timothy will need to rely on and keep to sustain the family business. Because without the gospel, there is no business. There is no church. The church is built on the gospel, and it's the gospel that makes the church grow. As more and more people hear and accept the gospel through Timothy's proclamation, people will join the church and join the family business. And the gospel is beautiful. There is nothing like it. Because we live in a world of meritocracy, of earning your keep, where businesses like the ones from the How I Built This podcast only make profit and survive when they charge their customers money for the products that they're offering. And yet, here's a family business that isn't charging their customers anything at all. They're only offering a free gift to all of their customers. I'm currently studying education, but I did a year before my education degree of business, and it was only a year, but I picked up enough things from my year of business school to know that that is a stupid business model. To hand out free products to all of your customers, it doesn't make sense. You will only lose money. But this gift is like no other. When normal businesses operate on the paradigm of the higher the price, the higher the profit, this family business says the freer the gift, the greater the joy. This gift is called grace, not because of anything we have done, but because of God's own purpose and grace. And the fact that this grace was given to us before the beginning of time only emphasizes that we have nothing to do with it. There is no wealth in the whole world that could come possibly close to buying this gift of salvation. As sinners, we are in too far greater debt to even think about it. And not only is this gift like no other, but even more so, the giver of this gift is like no other, Jesus Christ. It is his appearing that tells people that they no longer need to fear death because he has completely and utterly destroyed it, and offers us now life and immortality forevermore. It is Jesus Christ, the one and only true Son of God, that was treated as a sinner and hung on a cross so that God could treat us sinners as his beloved Son, so that we could enter into his family freely without shame or guilt. That is the power of the gospel. That is the power of trusting in Jesus, being saved from death and brought into life with our Savior, to spend eternity with the perfect family. But not only is this gospel the thing that saves sinners, it's also the very thing that grows Christians. The more that Christians hear and meditate and apply the gospel into their hearts and their lives, their hearts are changed. The more that they see God's big purpose for the world to save people through his Son, the story, the essence of the family business, the more that they will want to join in on the family business. Just like what Paul's doing to Timothy here. Paul isn't explaining to Timothy the gospel because Timothy doesn't know the gospel. Paul's reminding him of the story, of the big picture, of the Lord Jesus coming to destroy death and to bring life. This gospel is a key, non-negotiable tool that Timothy must base his whole ministry and life on if he wants to be useful in the family business. And in verse 11, it says that it was this gospel that Paul was appointed as a herald and an apostle and a teacher. And it's this same gospel which is actually causing his suffering. Yet in verse 12, he says, yet this is no cause for shame. How can he possibly say this? Well, because he relied on the tools entrusted his whole ministry to the one who started the business and gave him these tools. God. Or in Paul's words, I know whom I have believed. Paul believed in the one who destroyed death and brought life and immortality. Paul believed in the one who gives power, love, and self-discipline. And because of all these things, Paul knows that as long as Timothy continues to trust in God and the tools of the trade that he has given, the Holy Spirit and the gospel, that this family business will only grow and grow. And we know that Timothy did end up using them. Timothy listened. He fanned into flame the gift of God by relying on it. He held on tight to the one and true gospel. He kept the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus and guarded it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And I can prove it because we're here today. Because Timothy trusted in God and relied on these tools, the church grew and grew, and he passed down what was handed to him, and they used the tools to grow the church more and more themselves. It is only when the church uses the gifts that God has chosen, that God has set in place for his people to use to grow and build his church. It is only then that the church is actually grown. That's how Paul was so successful in his ministry, because he knew that the church is only grown and sustained throughout generations by those who receive what has been handed down to them, who treasure it, and who do the work to pass it on. And he knew he couldn't do it alone. He had to pass it on. That's why he's writing to Timothy to guard the good deposit entrusted to him with the help of the Holy Spirit. And now, it's our turn, together. We all have a part to play in this same family business together, because each one of us have received the exact same gifts. The family business isn't about profits or expansion or numbers for its own sake. It's about people coming to know Jesus and growing in him. So every time we share the gospel, teach the word, serve in church, or even just encourage a fellow brother or sister, we're participating in something far greater than ourselves. We're stepping into the work of generations who have come before us and preparing to pass it on to those who will come after us. How about we pray in light of all this? Heavenly Father, your grace is so abundant towards us sinners. You have saved us from death and brought us into life, into your family. Father, help each one of us to see our part in growing the church by using the gifts that you have given us of the Holy Spirit and the gospel. Help us not to rely on our own strength or wander from the gospel, but instead cling tightly to them, trusting that all of this is in your loving hands. Amen.